Welcome to Finish the Race, a conservative Christian talk show where we'll dive deep into the current events and social issues affecting Americans.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
In times like these, truth, principles, and solutions matter. Through God's Word, we can restore our true American values, faith, family, and country.
However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace.
Now, here's your host, Eric Thompson. Eric Thompson.
And welcome to Finish the Race. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Eric Thompson out here in California, Christian, conservative, independent. Finish the Race is how I see the world as a Christian that's involved in issues that deal with faith, family, and country. So I do want to welcome you. If you want to check out my website, it's finishtherace.com, or you can head over to my social media site, magabook.com, magabook.com. You can say it's makeamericagreatagainbook.com or makeamericagodlyagainbook.com, but it's magabook.com. On this podcast, I'm going to go over day two of the impeachment trial. What's going on with it? How did it go? How is it looking for the Democrats? And how are the GOP senators reacting to all this? I'll give you a little summary of that. I'm also going to go over President Trump's about to do something that a sitting president has never done before. And then we're going to close up the show with a little bit of immigration news. So I do want to thank you so much for listening in. I have to let you know, I am a conservative independent, so I am supporting President Trump because President Trump is a lot different than the President Trump that I grew up admiring. But before I was a Christian, as he was a builder in Manhattan, I went through kind of his ups and downs with him. But I believe in the last few years, I don't know how far back, that he has come to faith in Jesus Christ, because the policies and the things that he's pushing for, in spite of his warts, his tweets, and some of the stuff that he's doing, you can see a change. And I actually think one of the more profound moments during the election in 16 was Melania came out, and they pulled up the Air Force, the Trump campaign airplane, and she came out, and the hangar was full. And when she walked out, she just said, "Let us pray." And she led this mob of political Trump supporters in the Lord's Prayer, and it moved the crowd. And I'm convinced that President Trump, through her prayer and people in his life, that he is changing, like we all are. We're all being sanctified slowly, but it's going to explain why he's going to do this thing that I'm going to keep a secret for a little bit. So let's jump in here. Day two of the President Trump's impeachment trial in the Senate. They stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning last night, infuriating a lot of people. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer kept doing amendments that were doomed, never had a chance of passing, to try to change the rules that McConnell had put in place, because they were using the same rules that was used in the Clinton impeachment. So here is how day two went. They retired from last night because of Schumer. Jerry Nadler last night, who is over the House Judiciary Committee, kind of lambasted the majority GOP in the Senate, telling them that if you guys don't vote next week to allow for more witnesses and documents to be included in the trial, then you are part of a cover-up. And he just insulted them. That's not a good thing when everyone that knows much at all about this impeachment process knows that this is not at all what our founders had intended. impeachment was supposed to be the remedy when everybody understood that there was a tyrannical person, a deceptive person, a person that was trying to destroy the country for their own purposes as president, that both sides of the aisle would say, we need to get rid of him. So we're going to go through the House. They're going to draft up the impeachment articles. They're going to send them over to the Senate. And since this is not going to be partisan, or this is not going to be party line, then it will just go, the House gives the evidence, the Senate then listens to the evidence, and then they decide through the trial in or out for the president. If you go back to the Clinton impeachment process, Jerry Nadler, House Judiciary Committee Chairman, and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, just to name a few, argued back then, since the Republicans were the majority in the Senate, that, you know, and even in the House, you know, we should not ever impeach a president if it's strictly on party lines. So if it's all Republicans and no Democrats, then there should not be an impeachment. No articles should be drafted up. Or if it's all vice versa. So here, the Democrats are the majority in the House. They quickly, within 60 days, after getting some momentum, said, you know what? We're going to impeach the president. Why? Because he had a phone call with Ukraine's president, and we think that he was trying to strong-arm Ukraine, that they would go investigate Joe Biden's son's Burisma corporation that he was on the board for and try to disparage Biden's Joe so he would not be able to run for president. And then aid was withheld to Ukraine for the military. So there was a quid pro quo, which was not in the articles of impeachment. So instead of taking 3, 4, 5, 6 months, get all of the information they needed to make a proper decision, the executive privilege came in. So there's some evidence that they wanted that the president claimed executive privilege on. So the court said, okay, we'll decide if that could be included. But they didn't want to wait for the courts. So in spite of it, of only Democrats voting for the impeachment, for the articles to be sent over, and even three of them voted no, they went ahead, rushed it, got it in before Christmas, with the plan, we're finding out, that then when the Senate got it, they would come over because they have seven managers. They're the representatives from the House that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, appointed to go over and argue their case in the trial as the prosecutors against President Trump, and he has his attorneys to be the counter. And the senators are supposed to sit there and say, let's hear the evidence, in or out for the president, done. So at the end of day two, what we have is that the, after being insulted by Jerry Nadler, the House Republicans, I'm sorry, the Senate Republican majority, they were falling asleep today. They were bored. They were leaving for a long time. Because they know that a partisan impeachment brought over without any crimes defined, and then they insult the majority and tell them, you better go do more research for us, and you better help us find more information, even though our case is ironclad. You guys, if you don't bring in more witnesses and more articles, then you're part of a cover-up. So this article here from Gateway Pundit says, Schiff-led House managers, the seven of them, who've been trying to present the case to the Senate. It says they have the senators, the 100 of them, in agony and bored out of their minds at the impeachment trial. This is from Kristen Taylor. The Democrat House managers for the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump have senators in, quote, agony, unquote, and, quote, bored out of their minds, unquote, with many nodding off, walking around, and even leaving the chamber for extended periods of time, according to reports. The boredom was exacerbated by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York, who forced debates and votes on 11 doomed motions that dragged day one's opening session till 2 o'clock in the morning, and they had to be back at 1 today to start. So this, they have artist depictions of what they could see. It says the boredom set in on the first day and Tuesday and carried into Wednesday as lead House manager Representative Adam Schiff droned on for hours. CBS News reported Tuesday evening, midway through the opening session, that senators were already bored to death. Courthouse News reported on the opening of Wednesday's session with the headline, "Sleepy, Hungry, Bored, Senators Pay for Late Night at Impeachment Trial Open." Quote, Senator Rand Paul glued his eyes on a crossword puzzle hidden under his desk during opening arguments from Schiff, the House Intelligence Chairman from California. Senator Bernie Sanders could be seen nodding off. Yes, Bernie. Slouched deep in his wooden desk with his chin bobbing on his chest. Why are they bored? Well, article here from Breitbart. Rand Paul, the same one who has crossword puzzle, senator from Kentucky. 45 Republicans are already prepared to dismiss the charges against President Trump. Need 51. But 45 are already, so they're not even listening. They're just playing crossword puzzles, walking out, doing interviews. Says here, this is from Hannah Blue. Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky, said on Wednesday the 45 GOP senators are prepared to dismiss the charges against President Trump and effectively ending the Senate impeachment trial. They have to get two-thirds of the senators to convict. So with 45 Republicans already saying we're not going to, then it's done. But Rand Paul's not pushing the issue because the way this is going is that today, tomorrow, and Friday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The Democrats are going to argue why the two articles of impeachment should lead to the actual conviction and removal from President Trump. Then President Trump's team comes in Saturday, because they each get 24 hours of talking, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. After President Trump's team is done, then the senators get to write in questions for clarification that will be read by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, who's presiding over the trial. After that, then they're going to vote on, at this point, do we need more evidence? So do we need to have more witnesses come in? Or are we, as a Senate, based off of the actual evidence supplied by the House, who was supposed to have done a much better job if they were going to try to put a case together, not rushing it? If they say, no, we're not going to vote, 51 people don't vote for more witnesses or documents, then they will vote for dismissal of the two charges, and then we move on, getting ready for 2020. Democrats are going to cry cover up. Republicans are going to say, what a farce. And the divided states of America pushes on. Now, what's interesting about today, and then we're going to finish up here with this part of the podcast, is that according to AON, that there's a report out that Representative Schiff, who's the lead, he is the lead member. So he's from the House Intelligence Committee. He's a lead manager, I guess is a better way of saying it. He was trying to say in his closing today that there's so much evidence out there that's coming in, and that if the Senate's going to have to allow more evidence in and witnesses. You know, he says, hey, we even got some more from Freedom of Information requests. We got some more text and documents. And as a matter of fact, it says here that on Tuesday, the reports uncovered a redaction section of a letter from Schiff to House Judiciary Chairman Nadler. In the letter, Schiff summarized several documents and text exchange turned over by Parnas. This was Rudy Giuliani's former associate. In one section, Schiff stated that Parnas, this is Giuliani's former associate, continuously tried to meet with Ukrainian President Zelensky, citing a text message between the two that read, "Trying to get us, Mr. Z." The problem is that actually the reports found that Parnas was likely referring to Mykola Zolchevsky, the founder of Burisma. Now, that is the company that had Hunter Biden on the board. So, Schiff misled his own guy, Nadler, because he wanted to push a lie that they were trying to get this, that they were trying to get to Zelensky, the president. So Lev Parnas knows a lot about what was actually going on with the aid being withheld and blah, blah, blah. Come to find out, no, the text had nothing to do with Parnas knowing anything about Zelensky's, you know, their access to him or the aid or what the conversations were. He was talking about Burisma. But Schiff lies. So this is from AON. Representative Schiff misconstrued Parnas evidence. Now, like I said, starting Saturday, probably, this is from AON also, Jay Sekulow, who's on the President Trump's legal team, says they're ready to challenge the impeachment aggressively. He said Democrats are failing to present a coherent impeachment case. While speaking to reporters on Wednesday, Sekulow said Democrats have tried to deny the president his constitutional rights by dismissing executive privilege. The attorney stressed executive privilege is protected by Supreme Court decisions and added any attack against it amounts to an attack on the U.S. Constitution. He went on to say Democrats are contradicting themselves and making irrelevant points while trying to present their case for impeachment. Quote, Adam Schiff talked today about quid pro quo. Notice what's not in the articles of impeachment, allegations or accusations of quid pro quos. That's because they didn't exist. There's a lot of things we rebut, but we will do it in an orderly and, I hope, more systematic fashion. Sekulow said the president's legal team aggressively challenge and rebut impeachment allegations, and then they're going to aggressively argue the president's pro positions. So that's how it's going so far, from what I can see right now. Unless something radically changes, this time next week, it will be over. And we'll start working on 2020 again until the very high possibility that the House will impeach the president again on new charges. Don't be surprised about that. Now, while all that's going on, and while they've been attacking President Trump for 3 years, President Trump has been dealing with immigration, he's been dealing with trade deals, he's been dealing with Iran and North Korea. He's been very busy. Well, on Friday, President Trump is going to be the first sitting president who's going to attend the annual March for Life in person. And a couple years ago, he spoke over the Tron, like the big Jumbotron, like television. But here are some lifenews.com. President Donald Trump will address the March for Life on Friday in live remarks to hundreds of thousands of pro-life people attending the event from across the country. He'll be the first ever president to attend the March for Life in person, having addressed the march via video previously. March for Life officials told lifenews.com they were delighted President Trump is demonstrating his commitment to pro-life values while appearing in person, joining 500,000 or more Americans, demonstrating their resolve to end abortion. Gene Mancini, president for March for Life, told Life News, "We are deeply honored to welcome President Trump to the 47th annual March for Life. He will be the first president in history to attend, and we're so excited for him to experience in person how passionate our marchers are about life and protecting the unborn." President Trump tweeted today, "See you on Friday, big crowd," and he was tweeting the March for Life announcement. Mussini said Trump's pro-life record has been sterling during his time as president thus so far. From the appointment of pro-life judges and federal workers to cutting taxpayer-funding for abortions here and abroad to calling for an end to late-term abortions, President Trump and his administration have been consistent champions for life, and their support for the March of Life has been unwavering. We are grateful for all these pro-life accomplishments and look forward to gaining more victories for life in the future. Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George W. Bush had all addressed the march as well with pro-life remarks. Their remarks were typically pre-taped or were aired via a live phone call. President Trump's going to be there. So in spite of everything, if you sit back and you see what President Trump's accomplished, 180 federal judges, two Supreme Court judges on the courts, profoundly going to change our country for decades, for generations. New trade deal with Mexico and Canada. A new trade deal with China, Japan, other countries. And we're going to get to immigration here in a second. So let's keep President Trump in prayer as he's dealing with everything. As a Christian, I'm putting Christ first, and I support and pray for our president as he does things that will exalt righteousness in the country from a biblical point of view. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and then support President Trump, because someday President Trump is not going to be in office. So here's my question before we move on. President Trump is going to weather this impeachment. And for the most part, he should be in office for 5 more years. Do you spend more time sharing the Lord with people, reading his word, praying, meditating on what God does in your life and what he does for the world? Or do you spend all your time talking about President Trump? Just think about it. Priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. Okay, so while President Trump is going to be doing that, he has also been, over the last 3 years, in spite of total resistance from the Congress, the courts, blocking funding, doing all they can, President Trump figured out, I think, with Stephen Miller and some people in his team, how to get, as the commander-in-chief, has been able to get $7 billion released from the defense fund, the budget, to be used for the wall. So now they've got 100 miles of wall. They're going to finish. They have enough funding for another 700 miles. So he's getting the wall built. So if anyone tells you no, yes, he is. 100 miles are done of new wall, and 700 more are funded. Immigration, illegal immigration, is rampant around the world because of the United Nations and the globalists. They want no borders. They want people to roam anywhere, because if people are not assimilated, huge pockets of people in different nations, then the governments can become tyrannical, because there'll be no unity in their populations to talk and stop the tyranny from taking place. There's an article here from Gateway Pundit. United Nations, which we need to get out of. Human rights ruling says climate refugees, quote unquote, cannot be returned back to their home country. U.S. must open its borders to all Central Americans. Did you hear that? The United Nations ruled that climate refugees cannot be returned back to their home countries. This ruling forces the United States to allow all Central Americans into our country. Literally anyone can claim the new refugee status. This will essentially open U.S. borders for good. Now, the left has combined open borders with junk science to create a climate, to create something called climate refugees. This is from the Central Tibetan Administration. Quote, it is unlawful for governments to return people to countries where their lives might be threatened by the climate crisis. A landmark ruling by the United Nations Human Rights Committee has found the judgment, which is the first of its kind, presents a legal tipping point in a moment that opens the doorways to future protection claims for people whose lives and well-beings have been threatened due to global heating, experts says. Tens of millions of people are expected to be displaced by global heating in the next decade. So now it's back to global warming. The judgment relates to the case of Loan Tuintota, a man from the Pacific nation of Kiribati, which is considered one of the most countries most threatened by rising sea levels. He applied for protection in New Zealand, claiming him and his family's lives are at risk. The committee heard evidence of overcrowding on the island of South Tawara, where he lived, saying the population had increased from 1,641 to 50,000 in 2010 due to sea level rising, leading the other islands becoming uninhabitable, which has led to violence and social tensions. He also spoke of the lack of fresh water and difficulty growing crops due to salinity of the water table, causing serious health issues for his family. New Zealand courts rejected his claim for protection. But the United Nations says, no, if we have a say, then everybody can go anywhere they want, and sovereign countries can't do anything about it. Well, the nice thing is, that's not law right now. That's their first time they've said that's what it should be. But see, in America, President Trump has been working with Homeland Security. There's an article here from Fox News. DHS boss warns caravan migrants. There's a caravan coming up again through Mexico. He warns the migrants they will be sent home if they reach the U.S. amid reports of violence. So let's go ahead and play this little soundbite here from Fox News.
To Transit North, President Trump changed that, promising a trade war if Mexico did not act. Since then, Mexico National Guard is detaining and deporting those traveling illegally. Now, those that did make it, the U.S. deported to Mexico, creating a shelter crisis in cities like Tijuana. The result is a dramatic decline in illegal traffic in states like Texas and Arizona.
Make no mistake, the reason why we're seeing a difference now is because this president's strategies, which included negotiations with the government of Mexico as well as the Northern Triangle countries, and those countries have stepped up in unprecedented ways.
So President Obrador has turned Mexico into a wall of sorts to deter the flow of illegal labor, helping raise wages here in the U.S., Ed. But some U.S. businesses, we know, are complaining that they need more cheap labor. But Mexico has definitely stepped up. Back to you.
William, thank you.
All right, well, there you go. So Mexico is basically has been helping us deal with the border. President Trump, in the midst of everything else, has worked out agreements with Mexico that they would put their military on the borders, that they would turn people away. They did a policy with them, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, that if people come up from those countries, from South America, through Mexico, that as soon as they hit our border, if Mexico didn't stop them, which they agreed to do, if they didn't stop them, then what happened is that they would process them and they would send them back to their country of origin, waiting for their applications to be processed for asylum. So here's the article. This is from Adam Shaw from Fox News. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf on Wednesday warned migrants traveling north through Central America as part of the latest caravan they will not be allowed to into the U.S. and that the safety of the Americans is the priority amid reports of violence from members of the caravan. Quote, being part of a large caravan like of a large group like a caravan provides no special treatment or benefits to those who participate. Unfortunately, there have been acts of reported violence by some involved in the caravan, unquote, Wolf said in a statement. Quote, the department is prioritizing the safety and security of our officers and the American people, unquote. Should any of the members of the caravan reach the U.S. border, they will be processed accordingly and then removed and returned or repatriated, he said, quote unquote. So there you go. Catch and release, by the way, is no longer in place. So we do not, the Homeland Security does not catch people, write their names down, and release them into the country. Now, if they come up through Central America, let's say they come up from Honduras, they hit our border because Mexico didn't stop them for some reason, they get processed and they get sent back to El Salvador, Honduras. So they're just letting them know. If you do get up here, which you shouldn't because Mexico is going to stop you, you're going to get sent back. So all the money you spent is going to be for naught because you're going to end up right where you started. CS President Trump is working vigorously to protect we the people. And why is that necessary? And we're going to finish up with the last couple stories here. And thank you for hanging out with me here for this half hour or so. This is from Breitbart. Molly Tibbetts murder trial. Listen to this. Illegal alien uses limited Mexican education as defense for speaking with the police. An illegal alien accused of murdering 20-year-old University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts is now arguing that his quote, very limited Mexican education, unquote, enabled him to speak to law enforcement without understanding his Miranda rights. Because he's in the country legally. In August 2018, Christian Bahena Rivera, 25-year-old illegal alien from Mexico, was charged with Molly Tibbetts' murder after police said he admitted to confronting and chasing down the young woman. Following a nationwide search, Tibbetts' body was found in a cornfield in Powashek County, Iowa. The illegal alien lived in a region of Iowa that was surrounded by sanctuary cities. As Breitbart News noted, he worked on a dairy farm using a stolen ID and Social Security card after allegedly crossing the U.S.-Mexican border as a child. Bahena Rivera's defense team, Chad and Jennifer Fres, wrote in a request to the Iowa Supreme Court that legal aliens' very limited Mexican education led him to speak with police officers without understanding his Miranda rights, according to Des Moines Register. The Fres has also argued in the request to the Supreme Court that Bahena Rivera's position as an immigrant with a very limited Mexican education made him unfamiliar with the United States criminal justice system and prevented him from understanding all of his rights. He had been notified of his rights to consular assistance. Bahena Rivera would have, if he had been notified of his rights to consular assistance, Bahena would have been consulted with representatives from the Mexican consulate before giving any statements. The defense team also claims the arrival of 15 police officers at the Yerbe Farms, where Bahena Rivera was legally employed, gave the illegal alien no choice but to turn himself in. Are you hearing me? Just like you, if you have a family, lock your doors, car, homes, maybe turn on security. You teach your kids there's bad people in the world, situations to avoid. But the globalists say, well, even though people do that for their homes, we should have complete strangers come into the country. We're going to leave the door unlocked. Because it's a compassionate thing to do. There's stories all over the country where illegal aliens come in. Maybe they were criminals back home. They had to escape and came up through our border, which under Obama was, oh, we caught you. Okay, well, now you get to go. Well, if you're really bad, then okay, we're deporting you. But for the most part, catch and release. The Bible says that if a man doesn't take care of his family, if he doesn't work, he's worse than an infidel. If you don't raise up your kids in the way of the Lord, then you're dishonoring God by not protecting your family. If you're a single mom, you step up and you have to protect your children. It is not godly to allow people in around your children and families that nobody knows who they are, but they have access to you, your family. And then your taxes from your work subsidize them to live and protect it from the National Immigration Services to find out who they are and deport them, called sanctuary cities, like here in California. So this guy has a 20-year-old girl running. He chases her down and kills her. And now this legal, free legal representative team for him, well, he only admitted it because a bunch of police officers came out to where he was working and he only knows broken English. This is why we need the wall built. We need to deport everyone that's here illegally. We need to regroup, get our country back to being a principled country. And then if we need more talent or resources in the country, we reopen our immigration system. But we do not need more people while we don't even know who the 30 or 40 million people are here that are here illegally. Christian thing is to take care of your families, your communities, and then help people as you know who they are. You have the resources and you have the tools to be able to help the people coming into your country. If someone's in the country legally, then the Lord moves on your heart, then you help them. But this immigration issue has to be fixed, and that's one of the main reasons why I'm a big supporter of President Trump, because he sees that. So that's kind of what I'm seeing today between the impeachment, this UN overreach, this Agenda 30 they're working on, and because they're going after the world to try to separate Christ out of the world and everything else. So we need to be in prayer, need to understand that God's lifting up leaders and taking them down, and that we need to be presenting Christ to a world that is lost, and they're worshiping the creation instead of the creator. So thank you so much for listening in. Again, my name is Eric Thompson. This has been Finish the Race. FinishTheRace.com, and head over to MAGABook.com, and I will talk to you later. Take care.
We hope you enjoyed today's show.
I love the show, guys. You're awesome.
My friends and I love it.
It's drastically changed my life.
For more information and updates, please visit FinishTheRace.com. To get in touch with others in our community, please visit MAGABook.com. We thank you once again for tuning in. Have a blessed day.